Welcome to Zichu Daf Sim Money Member by Avram Goldar, and today Merzakas Baba Basra, Daf Kufnun Beis, the ninth parak Misha Meis. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara discusses a matna shchimira, shekasa ba kinyan, the gift of a shchimira with a kinyan written into it, where they performed a kinyan suitor on the gift when it was not required. Rav says, Arkave Atre Rikshe, he has made it ride on two steeds. But Shmuel says, Ho Yadana Mai Adumba, I do not know how to judge such a gift. Rav holds that the Shchimira's purpose in making a kinyan for his gift was to give it both the power of a matna shchimira and of an ordinary gift. It's like an ordinary gift in that he cannot retract upon recovering, and it's like a matna shchimira that it has the ability to transfer alone. Shmuel says he does not know how to judge this gift because Shemelo Gamro Haknoso El Bashtar. Perhaps he only decided to transfer the gift to him with a document, Vein Shtar Lacher Misa, and a document cannot take effect after his death. Point number two, the Gemara asks that both Rav and Shmuel contradict their opinions, because if a Shchimira said, Kisvu utnu mana l'poni, write a shtar and give a mana to pony, and died, Rav ruled we do not write it and give it, because perhaps he only intended to give it with a shtar, which is not effective after his death. Shmuel ruled that the gift should be written and given in this case. The Gemara explains that the reason Rav ruled the gift ineffective here is the l'kanumine, because in this case they did not make a kinyan with him. Shmuel, who ruled the gift is effective in this case, does not contradict his previous ruling, because this case is b'miyafes kocho, where he was enhancing the recipient's power with the kinyan by explicitly saying so. Similarly, Rav Nachman interpreted another case where Shmuel validated a matna shchimira made with a kinyan as being a case of miyafes kocho. Rav Chisda says that an example of such an expression is where they wrote b'kaninim minei mosiv al matnas adah, and we, the Adim, made an acquisition of the gift from him in addition to his verbal instruction for this gift. And point number three, another machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is quoted, kasev zichu azeh, if he wrote away his property to someone and gave him the shtar recording the gift, and then did the same for someone else, Rav says the first recipient acquires it, and Shmuel says the second recipient acquires it. Rav's ruling reflects his opinion that making a kinyan for the gift is meant to give it the power of a matnas bari. He holds giving over the shtar has the same effect, so he can no longer retract. Shmuel's ruling reflects his opinion that this remains a standard matnas shchimira, and he can retract from it. The Gemara explains why Rav and Shmuel repeated their machlokas in this case. In Bodhisa, Shmuel's ruling was quoted in a different case, where Shchimira wrote away his property and gave the shtar to the recipient, Bekanu Miyado, and additionally the Adi made a kinyan from him from the gift. And Shmuel ruled, Ein Acher Kinyan Klum, there is nothing that can undo a gift after a kinyan was made, since it was done after handing over the shtar. So once again, the three points are number one. The Gemara discusses matna shchimira shekasu ba kinyan, the gift of a shchimira with a kinyan written into it, where they performed a kinyan suitor on the gift when it was not required. Rav says, Arkave Atre Rikshe, he has made it ride on two steeds. But Shmuel says, Ho Yadana Mai Adumba, I do not know how to judge such a gift. Rav holds that the shchimira's purpose in making a kinyan for his gift was to give it both the power of a matna shchimira and of an ordinary gift. It's like an ordinary gift in that he cannot retract upon recovering, and it's like a matna shchimira that it has the ability to transfer alone. Shmuel says he does not know how to judge this gift because Shemelo Gamro Haknoso El Bashtar. Perhaps he only decided to transfer the gift to him with a document, Vein Shtar Lacher Misa, and a document cannot take effect after his death. Point number two, the Gemara asks that both Rav and Shmuel contradict their opinions, because if a shchimira said, Kisvu utnu mana l'poni, write a shtar and give a mana to pony, and died, Rav ruled we do not write it and give it, because perhaps he only intended to give it with a shtar, which is not effective after his death. Shmuel ruled that the gift should be written and given in this case. The Gemara explains that the reason Rav ruled the gift ineffective here is the l'kanumine, because in this case they did not make a kinyan with him. Shmuel, who ruled the gift is effective in this case, does not contradict his previous ruling, because this case is b'miyafes kocho, where he was enhancing the recipient's power with the kinyan by explicitly saying so. Similarly, Rav Nachman interpreted another case where Shmuel validated a matna shchimira made with a kinyan as being a case of miyafes kocho. Rav Chisda says that an example of such an expression is where they wrote b'kaninim minei mosiv al matnas adah, and we, the Adim, made an acquisition of the gift from him in addition to his verbal instruction for this gift. And point number three, another machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is quoted, kasev zichu azeh, if he wrote away his property to someone and gave him the shtar recording the gift, and then did the same for someone else, Rav says the first recipient acquires it, and Shmuel says the second recipient acquires it. Rav's ruling reflects his opinion that making a kinyan for the gift is meant to give it the power of a matnas bari. He holds giving over the shtar has the same effect, so he can no longer retract. Shmuel's ruling reflects his opinion that this remains a standard matnas shchimira, and he can retract from it. The Gemara explains why Rav and Shmuel repeated their machlokas in this case. In Bedisa, Shmuel's ruling was quoted in a different case, where Shchimera wrote away his property and gave the shtar to the recipient, Bekanu Miyado, and additionally the Edi made a kinyan from him from the gift. And Shmuel ruled, Ein Acher Kinyan Klum. There is nothing that can undo a gift after a kinyan was made, since it was done after handing over the shtar. All right, so now we go to Sim Daf Kuf Nun Beis, and way back in Masechus Shabbos, we had used cannibal as the sim. We're going to change it now and do the OCOs backwards, and the sim is going to be bank or banker. So here goes. The two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shchimira with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done on the matna Shchimira was to give it both the power of matna Shchimira and also a regular gift, or whether that would only work if he specified that he was giving more power, were frustrated when they found out that the Shchimira had written and given the same gift to two people. Once again, in slow motion. The two bankers, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Beis. The two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shchimira with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the matna Shchimira was to give it both the power of a matna Shchimira and also a regular gift, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a matna Shchimira, shekasuba kinyan, the gift of a Shchimira with a kinyan written into it, where they performed a kinyan suda on the gift when it was not required. Rav says he has made it ride on two steeds, but Shmuel says, I don't know how to judge such a gift. Rav holds that the Shchimira's purpose in making a kinyan for his gift was to give it both the power of a matna Shchimira and of an ordinary gift. It's like an ordinary gift in that he cannot retract upon recovering, and it's like a matna Shchimira that it has the ability to transfer alone. So the two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shchimira with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the matna Shchimira was to give it both the power of matna Shchimira and also a regular gift, or whether that would only work if he specified that he was giving more power, which reminds us, if a Shchimira said, Kisvu utnu mana l'poni, write a shtar and give a mana to poni, and died, Rav ruled that we do not write it and give it, because perhaps he only intended to give it with a shtar, which is not effective after his death. Shmuel ruled that the gift should be written and given, because in this case, it was miyafes kocho, he was enhancing the recipient's power with the kinyan by explicitly saying so. So the two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shchimira with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the matna Shchimira was to give it both the power of a matna Shchimira and also a regular gift, or whether that would only work if he specified that he was giving more power, were frustrated when they found out that the Shchimira had written and given the same gift to two people. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings another machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. If a Shchimira wrote away his property to someone and gave him the shtar recording the gift, and then did the same for someone else, Rav says the first recipient acquires it, and Shmuel says the second recipient acquires it. Rav's ruling reflects his opinion that making a kinyan for the gift is meant to give it the power of a matnas bari. He holds giving over the shtar has the same effect, so he can no longer retract. Shmuel's ruling reflects his opinion that this remains a standard matna Shchimira, and he can retract from it. So once again, the two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shchimira with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done on the matna Shchimira was to give it both the power of a matna Shchimira and also a regular gift, or whether that would work only if he specified explicitly that he was giving more power, were frustrated when they found out that the Shchimira had written and given the same gift to two people. All right, so now it's time for four Balabach Hazara. Daf Kuf Memches. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Memches is Kamach, flour. So here goes. The Shchimira covered in flour, who had instructed his family to give the loan owed to him, to a ploni, which reminds us, the Gemara and further Rav Nachman holds that a Shchimira cannot transfer something which a bari cannot transfer with a kinyan. This seems to contradict another ruling of Rav Nachman, that a Shchimira that said, give my loan which is owed to me, to ploni, his loan is transferred to ploni. But a bari cannot transfer an oral loan through a kinyan, since a debt is not something tangible which he owns. Rav Papa answers, however, Yorish Yorsha, since an heir inherits a loan, a Shchimira can transfer it as well, since Matna Shchimira was enacted as an inheritance, as taught in Daf Kuf Mem Tes. Rav Acha Brein Rav Ika provides a different answer. So the Shchimira covered in flour, who had instructed his family to give the loan owed to him, to Ploni, and paused between giving his different flour mills to multiple people, indicating a change of mindset, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Shchimira shekasav kol nechasav l'acherim. If a Shchimira wrote away all his property to others, we examine his original intentions. Even Mechalik, if it seems he was dividing them out, intending from the beginning to give everything away, then if he dies, they all acquire their respective gifts, and if he recovers, he may retract from all of them. If it appears he was reconsidering, meaning he planned to give only a partial gift and continually changed his mind and gave more gifts until he gave everything away, then if he recovers, he can only retract from the last gift. All the gifts, except the final one, were partial gifts, and he cannot retract from them. So the Shkrimi recovered in flour, who had instructed his family to give the loan owed to him to Ploni, and paused between giving his different flour mills to multiple people, indicating a change of mindset, was informed by his son to remember that Chazar b'miksas havi Chazar b'kula, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Chazar b'miksas havi Chazar b'kula or lo? Is a retraction a part, a retraction of all of it, or not? If a Shchimira gave all his possessions to someone, in which case he's able to retract, and he retracted from part of the gift and gave it to someone else, does that indicate a retraction from his entire first gift, and the rest of it reverts to him, and his gift to the second recipient would be a partial gift from which he cannot retract? The Gemara proves that a partial retraction is a retraction of all of it. Daf Kuf Mem Tes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Mem Tes is a comet. So here goes. And the Shchimira who didn't notice the comet, that must be on Daf Kuf Mem Tes. The Shchimira, who didn't notice the comet whizzing by above his head, sold all his possessions but held on to the money since he hoped to recover and retract. Which reminds us, if a Shchimira gives away all his possessions and recovers, his gift is void. The Gemara asks, Machar Kol Nechas of Mahu, if he sold all his possessions and later recovered, what's the halacha? Can he retract from the sales because we assume he sold all his belongings because of his anticipated death, or is the sale different? The Gemara explains, where the money paid for the sale is still here in the Shchimira's possession, it indicates he hoped to retract the sales and return the money if he would recover. Where he paid his debts with the money indicates he had no intention of retracting. Therefore, he cannot retract if he recovers. So the Shchimira, who didn't notice the comet whizzing by above his head, sold all his possessions but held on to the money since he hoped to recover and retract, and admitted that the 12,000 zuz that he had deposited by the rabbi really belonged to his son, who was conceived before he converted, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Shchimira shehoda mahu, if a Shchimira admits that something in his possession belongs to someone else, what is the halacha? Do we accept his admission, or do we suspect he's attempting to falsely give the impression that he's not wealthy? A proof is brought from the incident of Issa Giora, who had 12,000 zuz deposited with Rava. So the Shchimira, who didn't notice the comet whizzing by above his head, sold all his possessions but held on to the money since he hoped to recover and retract, and admitted that 12,000 zuz that he had deposited by the rabbi really belonged to his son, who was conceived before he converted, forgot that he retained Karkal Kolzhu, enough land to support himself from the produce, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Mem Amud Beis taught that if a Shchimira gave away his property, retained Karkal Kolzhu, land of even minimal size, he cannot retract if he recovers because it was presumably not given because of his anticipated death. Amarim defined Karkal Kolzhu. Rav says, Karkal Kadei Parnasaso, enough land to support him from its produce. Daf Kuf Nun. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Nun is a con man. So here goes. The con artist, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun. The con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a kosher was enough for Reishis a gaze, which reminds us, Gemara brings a mission where Rabbi Dosman Horkana said, Chamesh Rachelos Gozozos Manu Manu Upras, five sheep of which each is shorn a man and a half of fleece, are obligated in the law of Reishis a gaze, which is given to a Kohen. But the Chachamim say, Chamesh Rachelos Gozozos Koshehen, five sheep which are shorn even a minimal amount. Rav defined that kol shehen means man upras, a total of a man and a half, provided that they are at least fifths, meaning each produced at least a fifth of a mana and a half. The Gemara tends to show that this proves that a kol shehu has a minimum requirement, but answers that kol shehu should not have been used in this context. So the con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a koshu was enough for Reishis a gaze, conned his eved out of his freedom by leaving over Karkal Koshu in the shtar that gifted to him all of his possessions, which reminds us, Gemara discusses what is included in the gift of all of one's metaltling. It asks if a slave is considered like Karka in this respect, since it has the lacha of Karka for numerous laws, such as a kinyan, or if they're referred to as metaltling since they're physically movable. Ravina quoted a mission which teaches that if one writes all his possessions over to a slave, his slave goes free since he is one of those possessions. She or Karkal Kolzhu, if he retained land of even minimal size, meaning he said he's retaining some land, well, Yatsa ben Chorin, he does not go free because the retained land may refer to the slave himself. So the con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a Koshu is enough for Reishis a gaze, conned his eved out of his freedom by leaving over a Karkal Koshu in the shtar that gifted to him all of his possessions, and was out-conned by his new wife, who wrote away all her property to a friend. Which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Chamisha ad sheyichtivu kol nichseim. There are five people where the laws of their gifts only apply if they raid over all their possessions, the fifth case being a mavrachas, one who chases away, referring to an almana, who does not want her new husband to acquire rights in her property. Before remarrying, she gives her property away to someone whom she trusts to return it if the marriage ends. This insincere gift is ruled void, but tzricha shetichtov kol nechseh, she must write away all her property to demonstrate her intent. Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. So the Simur Daf Kuf Nun Aleph is a Kanai, a zealot, or a zealot with a spear. So here goes. When the Shemira mother who wrote all of her possessions to one son and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother, that must mean Daf Kuf Nun Aleph, Kanai, zealot. When the Shemira mother who wrote all her possessions to one son and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother before she died, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama's mother, who was a Shemira, wrote all of her possessions to him in the evening. But in the morning, she changed her mind and wrote them to her son, Rav Ukva Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama came before Rav Sheshes, who established him as the owner of the property, but Rav Ukva Bar Chama came before Rav Nachman, who established him as the rightful owner. Rav Sheshes protested to Rav Nachman that since the mother died and didn't recover, her retraction should be ineffective. Rav Nachman responded that Shmuel said, Koshiyu Amud Choser, anyone who, if he recovers, can retract, Choser B'matnaso, can retract from his gift, even if he does not recover, and that Shmuel explicitly said that a Shemira can retract Ben La'atzmo Ben La'acherim, whether it's for himself or for someone else. So when the Shemira mother who wrote all of her possessions to one son and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother before she died and did so without his making a kinyan, since Divrei Shemira Kaksuvim Kmasurim Damu, which reminds us, Rav Nachman taught, Divrei Shemira Kaksuvim Kmasurim Damu, the words of a Shemira are considered like they are written and handed over to the recipient even without making a kinyan. So when the Shemira mother, who wrote all her possessions to one son, and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother before she died, and did so without his making a kinyan, since Divrei Shemira Kaksuvim Kmasurim Damu, the first son became zealous and insisted his sister, who repeatedly retracted on giving a gift, leave some property to herself, which still didn't work, because one can still retract in the case of Mitzava Machmas Misa, which reminds us, Rav Dimi's sister, who was ill, gifted her orchard to Rav Dimi. Since she had retracted several times before, Rav Dimi designed the gift in a way she could not retract by having her retain a portion and by making a kinyan. Still, Rav Nachman required him to return it because Adim heard her bemoaning her impending death. Clearly, she was instructing to give away her property because she thought she would die. Umitzava machmas misa choser. And anyone who explicitly instructs because of an impending death can retract. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which definitely one that a Shemira who said, give my loan, which is owed to me, to Plony, his loan is transferred to Plony. That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Ches. Good number two, which definitely one a Matan Shemira was enacted, Shemit Titarv Daito Lev, lest his mental state worsen. That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Zayin. Good number three, which definitely one that a Mitzvah Machmas Misa can also retract from his gift and does not require a Kenyan. That's on Daf. Kuf Nun Aleph. Good number four, which daf to discuss what the din is if a Shemira sold all his possessions and then recovered. That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Tes. Good number five, which daf to the case of a Shemira that was Miyapes Kocho, where he was enhancing the recipient's power with the Kinyan by explicitly saying so. That's on Daf. Kuf Nun Beis. Good number six, which of the one a slave whose master gave him all his property but retained some does not go free. That's on Daf. Kuf Nun. Good number seven. Which of the one a Shemira can retract from a gift even if he doesn't recover, and even to give it to another, such as in the case of Rami Bar Chama's mother. That's on Daf. Kuf Nun Aleph. Good number eight. Which Daf do we have a machlokes in a case where the Shemira wrote away his property to someone and gave him the shtar recording the gift, and then did the same for someone else? That's on Daf. Kuf Nun Beis. Good number nine. Which Daf do you discuss when savlonos are not refunded? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Vav. Good. And number 10, which daf do the case of a matna shchimira with a kinyan written into it, where they performed a kinyan suit on the gift when it wasn't required? That's on Daf. Kuf Nun Beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zirchu, wishing you a great day and great learning.